So this morning, we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 6, Text number 35 and 36. Today's class, we will study this verse, and we'll also speak a little bit about Haridas Thakur, since a very, very prominent associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Putna was always hankering for the blood of human children, and with that desire she came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. What then is to be said of those who had natural devotion and affection for Krishna as mothers, who offered him their breast to suck or offered something very dear, as a mother offers something to a child. Purport. Putna had no affection for Krishna. Rather, she was envious and wanted to kill him. Nonetheless, because with or without knowledge she offered her breast, she attained the highest achievement in life. But the offering of devotees attracted to Krishna in parental love are always sincere. A mother likes to offer something to her child with affection and love. There's no question of envy. So here we can make a comparison study. If Putna could attain such an exalted position in spiritual life by neglectfully, enviously making an offering to Krishna, what is to be said of Mother Yasoda and the other gopis who serve Krishna with such great affection and love, offering everything for Krishna's satisfaction? The gopis automatically achieved the highest perfection. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended the affection of the gopis, either in maternal affection or conjugal love, as the highest perfection in life. Ramya Kaschid Apasana Vraja Vadhu Varganya Ye Kalpita. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanan Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Yena Tasma Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So taking the permission of my senior devotee Parivida Prabhu and all the wonderful Vaishnavas, thank you for coming here to the Srimad Bhagavatam class to listen to the glories of Lord Krishna and his wonderful devotees. When Kamsa heard the voice in the sky that the eighth child of Devaki was going to kill him, he did not hesitate to kill his own sister. This is the general tendency of the demoniac person, that they are willing to kill their kin if it means that they will get some satisfaction, or they, if something is an obstacle for them, then they will try and remove that obstacle in any way. So when that voice was heard, Kamsa drew his sword and he was about to kill his own sister on the wedding day. But Vasudev very, very cleverly pacified Kamsa, that why are you willing to kill your own sister on a wedding day? The voice said that you are in danger from the child, not from Devaki herself. And Vasudev said, if there's any children born, then I will give them to you, and you can do whatever is necessary. So then in this way, Kamsa was pacified. So in due course of time, as we know, the story unfolds. Slowly, slowly, Devaki, she was giving birth to children, and one by one, Kamsa was killing the children. He did not hesitate. He immediately killed them. And then on the eighth child, when Vasudev swapped the babies and had Yogamaya or Durga in the place of Krishna, when Kamsa tried to kill the eighth child said, the child that is already born, who is going to kill you, is already somewhere in the world. And Kamsa inside was really freaked out. But externally, he showed a little morose to his sister. So having been chastised by Durga, he felt obliged that he said some nice words to his sister Devaki, and then he released them. But in due course of time, when his demoniac associates said that the child who is destined to kill you is somewhere out there. But he remembered his sister's suffering. He remembered killing his own nephews. So he was torn between what to do. We all have this situation in our life, whether we should listen to the mind or whether we should listen to our intelligence. So the mind generally tells us to do things which are not so conducive for us. And the intelligence says, whoa, hold on. I don't think this is such a good idea. Maybe you should think it through. Maybe it might have some consequences. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is the difference between the mind and the intelligence? And Srila Prabhupada said, if you're on the edge of the cliff, the mind will say, jump. And the intelligence will say, whoa, not such a good idea. Not Superman or Hanuman. Step back. So this is the difference. However, the mind of Kamsa was easily convinced by his associates that you have to do something about it. You have to try and find this child and you have to get rid of it. So therefore, Kamsa decided to send Putana. Putana here, it says that she was a professional killer. Whoa. Professional Rakshasi. So she obviously was quite experienced in killing children. So I guess her services were somewhat needed, so people used to kind of hire her. So Kamsa also decided, I actually could use her service. So they knew that Krishna was within the vicinity of Vrindavan. So then Kamsa said, go to Vrindavan. I believe that Krishna is over there. And then if you can get hold of this child, then I want you to kill Krishna. So this is the general tendency of the demoniac, that they want to try and kill Krishna. We see in the history of the world, many, many powerful demons, they try to kill Krishna. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, any others? Hiranyaksha, ladies, Sishupal, there's so many. The whole Bhagavatam is filled with endless story of demoniac people wanting to try and kill Krishna. But is it possible to kill Krishna? Can anyone actually succeed? Have we actually come across anyone actually succeeding? Probably, I could be wrong, but probably the most powerful demon was Hiranyakashipu. He was probably one of the most powerful demon you could ever possibly imagine. It is said he was so powerful that when he was there sitting on the throne of Indra, and if he moved his eyebrows, the demigod started, you know. So he was so powerful. And it is said that when Ravana wanted to fight with Lord Ram, some of his advisors said, do not fight with Ram. Not a good idea. I think you will probably end up on the losing side. But demons, they think, nah, come on, I can take Ram on. What's the big deal? It's just got monkeys and bears. I got Kumbhakarna, I got Indrajit. What about me from all the booms I've achieved? I can easily kill this Ram. And this person said, actually, I still don't think it's a good idea. And then he said, you know, one of your ancestors, Hiranyakashipu, he tried to kill this same Ram, who is Vishnu, and he did not succeed. And still, Ravana was not convinced. He said, yeah, come with me, I want to show you something. Then by his mystic power, he took Ravana to this one place. And they went to this one place, and there was this huge, massive, big pyramid kind of looking thing. And it was made of solid gold. Solid gold. And there was two of them. And then this friend of Ravana said, try and lift this. Then the Ravana rolled up his sleeve and said, all right, okay, here we go. Oop, ooh. Then he tried to lift it. Then he tried to lift this solid gold. I said, try and lift it. He said, I can't lift it. He said, do you know what these two things are? And Ravana said, no, it's just gold. He said, these are the earrings of Hiranyakashipu. These are the earrings of Hiranyakashipu. This is how powerful, how strong he was. And this was just dangling on his ears. And you can't even lift them. What hope do you have of fighting Ram and defeating him? You can't even lift Hiranyakashipu's earrings. He was defeated by the same Ram. And he was shaken a little bit. But still, as demons have it, nah, I can do it, you know. What's the big deal, you know. He didn't have the right tactics, you know. The problem with him was his earrings were too heavy, so he lost his balance. But I know what to do. So in this way, he was still convinced, no matter what you tell the demons, they will never, never, never listen to any good advice. So there's a saying that those who want to kill Krishna, what's that famous saying? What is it? That's right. So those who want to try kill Krishna, it is not possible. It is just not possible. So here, Putana was sent on the same mission to try and kill Krishna. So she was going through the streets of Vraj, and then she saw this most amazing, beautiful child with curly hair, with very, very nice blue fade color. And immediately she was attracted to this child. And she had smeared some poison on her breast. And then she went to Mother Yashoda and said, just see how beautiful your child is, you know. And her inclination was that she wanted to feed the child. So in those days, I've seen in the village that although you might have a child, not only the mother feeds the child, but here they pass the baby around. Hey, it's my turn. Oh, I want to feed the child, you know. So this is a natural affection which is there in the family. So then when the child is there, then the mothers, or the gopis in this case, the natural motherly instinct comes about. And then they want to serve or feed the child. And it is said here that the mother's connection with the child is very, very strong. It's very, very powerful. It's very natural. And in fact, when Prabhupada describes how we should chant the holy name, he gave the example of the love the mother has for the child. So if anyone has any children here, then you probably know what I'm talking about. That affection, that emotion which is there between the mother and the child is very, very powerful. I was reading somewhere, there was this one mother, and the child had rolled under the car, and the mother naturally was trying to freak out, you know, because the car rolled under the car, and then if nothing was done, the car was going to roll over the child. So her natural mother instinct came about, and she wanted to naturally protect the child, and she went immediately to the car, and she was so much afraid of a child getting killed, she just lifted the car right up. Bang! And then somehow or another she managed to pull the child to safety. So sometimes mothers, they go through so many different kinds of difficulties just to protect the child. So in this case, when Mother Yashoda saw that this person, although Putna, by nature she was a Rakshasi, but by her mystic power, she changed her form. Just like Surpanika, she was very ugly, but when she went to try and seduce Ram, she changed her form. So the demons, they have these siddhis, they can change their appearances. So Putna did the same thing. She changed her appearance. And in this way, she took the child on the lap, and then she started feeding Krishna. And there was so much poison on her breast that she thought that the child would die immediately. But as we know, when Krishna took the milk, he started taking the milk. But here it is explained that although Putana came with the intention to kill Krishna, Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so merciful. Krishna is so magnanimous that Krishna did not see that Putana came to kill. So just think about it for a second. Put yourself in a position when somebody comes to offer you a gulab and it's laced with a bit of poison. I don't think you would be too happy about it. I don't think we would have that same kind of mood that Krishna has. But yet Krishna was willing to put that on the side and accept the motherly affection that Putana was willing to offer to Krishna. Just see how merciful our Lord is. Just see how kind. And it is said that when Krishna sucked the blood the milk, then Krishna also sucked the very life air of Putana. And Putana tried to push the child, "Leave me, child, leave me, child," realizing that this was not an ordinary child. And Putana was thus killed. But the most amazing thing about this pastime is that it is said, if you read into the scriptures, that she attained after her death the same position as Mother Yashoda. So how elevated is Mother Yashoda? We can't even begin to describe with our feeble words. Incredible. But yet even this one small offering, and even that was tinged with poison, still Krishna gave Putana the same position as Mother Yashoda. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said that if someone attains that position with the view to kill Krishna, with an envious kind of nature, and if they can attain that position, what to speak if you were to do something in a favorable frame of mind? What kind of benefit you will achieve then? So this is what bhakti yoga is all about, to try and perform service in a favorable frame of mind. And I know sometimes we get overburdened with service. There's so many things to do, never enough time in the day. But whatever service which is allocated to us, whatever we have to do it in a favorable frame of mind. And in this way, we can get the greatest benefit. And this will feed our bhakti lata bij. And then we will become fully Krishna conscious. So here it is advised that we should follow in that footsteps of the gopis. Because the gopis, Shishirada Gokula Nandaki, they have sacrificed everything for Krishna. They're willing to undergo their own personal difficulties just for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. They don't mind if they will suffer. They don't mind if they are inconvenienced. As long as Krishna is happy, then they are happy. As we all know the wonderful pastime when Krishna had that headache, and the only way to get rid of that headache was to take the dust from the feet of his devotees. And Narada Muni went to different devotees. He went to the Brahmins. When he told them, they said, hey, no ways, we'll go to hell. Everywhere, wherever he went, they would say no. But when Narada Muni went to the gopis said, yes, no problem. Narada Muni was shocked. He said, don't you mind going to hell? This is such an offense to Krishna. Then the gopis replied, we don't mind going to hell as long as Krishna's headache is gone. So this is the general attitude that we should have, that we should be ready to sacrifice whatever it takes. It's not always easy. It's very easy to say, but to put into practice is harder. And as the years go by, then although we might think it becomes easier, in fact it becomes harder. In my own personal experience, probably Paravida knows, when I was first coming here as a little whippersnapper kid, I was very, very fired up doing service, whatever was given to me. But now, even though I've been in devotional service for so many years, when somebody offers me service, I will calculate to see if it fits into my kind of, I don't know. So at the beginning, we're utsahan, we're very, very enthusiastic, we're ready to do anything. But as we become so-called mature, we tend to be a little bit hesitant even to accept service. But this shouldn't be the attitude. In fact, the older we become, the more mature we become, the more Krishna conscious we become, the more we should engage our mind, body, and senses in the service of Krishna. Although, I don't know, speaking for myself, we might not obtain the same position as Putana, which is very, very elevated, but still, following in these footsteps, Gopi Bhattapadu Kamalaya Dasu Dasuna Dasaha, then we can attain Krishna consciousness. So I will stop here for a few moments, and then we will speak a little bit about Haridas Thakur. Because Haridas Thakur, he's a very, very prominent associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's important that we, on this occasion, remember his wonderful pastimes, his dedication to chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if I'm not mistaken, please correct me. The prime goal of our Krishna consciousness is to perfect our chanting. And Haridas Thakur, Namacharya, perfected his chanting. And today, on this auspicious day of his disappearance day, we can take a moment and ask for his mercy, his kripa, that we can also get some taste, ruchi, from chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And as we all probably know, the pastimes of Haridas Thakur, none other than Haridas Thakur had a real taste, a real ruchi for the holy name. And we all know he chanted 300,000 times. Now, I've converted this into rounds. Does anyone know how many rounds that is? Around 190 rounds a day. 190 rounds a day. That's pretty awesome if you think about it. And if you calculate the amount of time it takes, even if you chant 5 minutes per round, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, once you get the rhythm going, you know, it's about 5 minutes. So who's really good at maths? 5 minutes? Go on, get it out there. 5 minutes times 190. 9:15 minutes divided by 16 hours. So once, you know, at Yoga Pit, I chanted 64 rounds, and that was my max. I was maxed out, you know. That's the most, and that was quite, you know, so like imagine chanting 190. So Haridas Thakur, of course we can't try to imitate him, that's not our kind of prerogative, but we try and see the example. So Lord Chaitanya, when he was living in Jagannath Puri, because Haridas Thakur came from a low-class so-called background, he was not allowed to go into the Jagannath temple. Lord Chaitanya's daily pastime was that he would go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath with his close associates. But for some reason, Haridas Thakur, he was not allowed to enter. So then he stayed a little bit in the distance. Some of you might have been there. Anyone been there to Jagannath Puri? Siddha Bakul? Yeah? And then, he was a Muslim, yeah? So, he was staying over there and he was chanting. So after Lord Chaitanya finished visiting Jagannath Puri, Then, after that, he would go and see Haridas Thakur. And there he would talk with Haridas Thakur. And in this way, after he'd taken darshan of Haridas Thakur, then he would do his other pastimes. So one day, when Lord Chaitanya, he came, he saw that Haridas Thakur was chanting his rounds. And if anyone's been to India, the sun there is pretty, pretty hot. Actually, the last couple of days, the sun's been quite hot. And in India, it can get up to 40 to 45 degrees. Really, really hot. Anyone spent summer in India? It's pretty cooking, man. You have a shower, immediately you're already hot. So Haridas Thakur was chanting his rounds in this particular heat. And then Lord Chaitanya saw this, and then Lord Chaitanya had a toothpick from Jagannath, and he placed this toothpick right into the ground, and lo and behold, right in front of everyone's eyes, this toothpick started to become a tree. And just right there, would make a good movie, no? This tree came and it gave cooling shade to Haridas Thakur. So that's how much love Lord Chaitanya had for Haridas Thakur. And then as the years roll by, there's so many pastimes, time is extremely limited. Then one day Lord Chaitanya, he went to see Haridas Thakur. And as it is inevitable, no one can stop the force of color, time takes its toll on everyone. Jara hits us one day. And Haridas' body was very, very frail. He was finding it very, very difficult to chant his rounds. And Lord Chaitanya would come and see him, and he says, "My dear Haridas, how are you?" And Haridas Thakur said, "I am not well." And then Lord Chaitanya said, "What is the matter?" He said, "I cannot finish my rounds. My body is well," even though we know his body wasn't well. He wasn't concerned about his body. He was concerned about his rounds. He couldn't finish his prescribed amount of rounds. And this was causing great disturbance in the mind of Haridas. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear Haridas, you have chanted so much. You are the Namacharya. It is all right that you don't finish your prescribed rounds." And immediately Haridas did not want to hear this. And in this way the Lord would visit, and then he would send his personal servant Govinda to make sure that all of Haridas' needs were taken care of. So this is again another important lesson, that when we get old, then the devotees, they care, they look after each other. Lord Chaitanya personally taught the example that Haridas has sacrificed his life, and at the very end of his life, when he could not perform his duties, Lord Chaitanya sent somebody, take prasadam, make sure everything was all right. Generally, the tendency, if someone's getting sick or someone's getting old, you know, we just kind of put them to the side. But we should make sure that we always look after the devotees as set by the example of Lord Chaitanya. And then one day, Lord Chaitanya, he came to see Haridas Thakur. And then spontaneously, Lord Chaitanya started singing the glories of Haridas Thakur. And he started saying, "Just see, even though Haridas Thakur is such an elevated Vaishnava, he does not want any respect from anyone. And when the Qazi heard the Haridas, who came from a Muslim background, had taken to the ways of Sanatana Dharma, he became very, very angry. Then they took Haridas Thakur, they started whipping him in 21 different marketplaces. Imagine whipping him. And even though he was being whipped, he just kept on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the Lord was feeling this pain that Haridas Thakur was feeling. And when Govinda saw the back of Lord Chaitanya, he saw the same whip marks that were supposed to be on Haridas, but on Lord Chaitanya. And Govinda was so surprised. Who has done this to you, my Lord? What has happened? And Lord Chaitanya, in a very sober mood, he said, my devotee has been tortured, he's been whipped, and I cannot tolerate to see my devotee in this suffering condition. So therefore, I have taken his pain. I have taken his suffering. And at this point, the guards, no matter how much they tried to kill or whip Haridas, they could not. And Lord Chaitanya was glorifying this in front of Haridas Thakur. And then the guards started saying, oh no, the Qazi is going to be so upset. We didn't fulfill our duty. We couldn't kill you. And can you imagine this? That even though they tried to hurt Haridas Thakur, he overheard this conversation. He said, not to worry. I will die for you. They tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. So that they would not be told off by the Qazi, he died or went in a swoon. They looked, they took Haridas and they chucked his body in the Ganga. And pastime after pastime with Ramachandra, who tried to send the prostitute, so many different pastimes, but Haridas Thakur, his faith in the holy name was unflinching, unconditional, and nothing could waver that strong faith. And then Haridas Thakur was very, very frail, and his desire was that he did not want to live if Lord Chaitanya was going to wind up his pastimes. It was coming to that point where Lord Chaitanya was about to wind up his pastimes. And Haridas Thakur's request was that I want to pass away before you wind up your pastimes. So then he went to all the different Vaishnavas, took the dust from their lotus feet, placed it on his head, and slowly, slowly he went to Lord Chaitanya, and then right in Lord Chaitanya's hand, Haridas Thakur passed away. What a wonderful, wonderful way to leave your body, right in the hands of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord. And everyone, as he passed away, they all shouted, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! And it is said that Lord Chaitanya lifted the body of Haridas Thakur and he danced in ecstasy. And it was said that Lord Chaitanya was crying and crying. And all the devotees were completely overwhelmed in this tremendous bhava of Haridas Thakur's leaving his body, and everyone felt such ecstasy, such happiness, and they took the body to the sea, and then they all started digging out a little pit, and everyone started digging out, and they made a little hole, and Lord Chaitanya, he placed the wonderful body of Haridas Thakur. And everyone took a little bit of sand and slowly placed it. And in this way, they made a samadhi for Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya, he wept. He cried and he cried. He said, now the crest jewel Vaishnava has left. We are bereft of his association. And very, very shortly after that, Lord Chaitanya himself disappeared. So Lord Chaitanya personally buried Haridas Thakur. And I think you can still go now and go to his samadhi and see the place where Lord Chaitanya placed his wonderful body. Thank you very much. Srila Haridas Thakur ki. Namacharya Haridas Thakur ki. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.